Hello, and welcome to the Bamboo Lab Podcast with your host, peak performance coach, Brian Bosley. Are you stuck on the hamster wheel of life, spinning and spinning, but not really moving forward? Are you ready to jump off and soar? Are you finally ready to sculpt your life? If so, you've landed in the right place. This podcast is created and broadcast just for you. All of you strivers, thrivers, and survivors out there. If you'd like to learn more about Brian and the Bamboo Lab, feel free to reach out to explore your true peak level at www.bamboolab3.com.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Bamboo Lab Podcast. As you know, I'm Brian, and I'm your host today. You know, today we have an amazing guest, and it's really interesting because this gentleman, Kumar, we've been in communication now for the past couple of months, and we've tried to get this show scheduled. A few things happened that we couldn't do it, and we've had to reschedule once or twice. But I have to say this, and I'm going to give a shout out to his team, his staff, starting with Caitlin and all the others who have been participating and getting us scheduled. You are all top notch. I have worked in 27 years of coaching companies and individuals. I've worked with a lot of professional staff members, people who schedule appointments and schedule meetings. You guys are diligent. You have an incredible eye for detail, and I can't believe how professional and on spot you are. So before we even start off, I'm going to give a shout out to Kumar's team. So anyway, folks, today we have an amazing guest. We have Kumar Vijayendra on today, and Kumar is an author and speaker. He's renowned for his expertise in sustainable operations management. We hear a lot now about sustainability. We hear a lot of people talking about it. We have now people who are doing something about it in the business world, and that's Kumar. He uses his extensive knowledge and international experience to help small businesses realign their strategies around the four P's of sustainability. And I want to repeat these four P's because I think they're so important. People, planet, profit, and purpose. People, planet, profit, and purpose. I love that. I'm so excited to talk to him about this. With nearly two decades of experience driving operational excellence in diverse organizations, Kumar's thought-provoking articles have been featured in leading trade journals and respected research publications. And he has recently released a book, which we will have in the show notes below today. So please click on and order this book. His book, The Sustainable Entrepreneur, provides invaluable insights on leveraging sustainability for enhanced environmental impact and profitability. He's the president of Footsteps LLC and serves on prestigious boards. His expertise is recognized across multiple industries around the world. He has been invited as a member of the prestigious Forbes Business Council in recognition of his thought leadership and contribution to small business sustainability. Kumar holds an MBA from the University of Pittsburgh, Go Panthers. With a certification in sustainability, he's a certified Six Sigma Green Belt, a certified Scrum Master, and a certified executive coach. As a dynamic speaker, his captivating style and ability to communicate complex concepts always leaves an incredibly long-lasting impact and impression. So Kumar, my friend, we've been trying to connect for a while. Welcome to the Bamboo Lab Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. And that was a very comprehensive introduction. Thank you for the shout out of my team. It's always good to hear good things. It's always good to get a feedback, and then you get a good feedback. It makes me feel really good. So thank you for that.
Well,
go Panthers.
Go Panthers. It's always really, really refreshing when I work with a team of staff members and professional support individuals who are so professional, because I've worked with a lot who weren't over the years, Kumar. So it's really good working with them. All right. So I've done some research on you, Kumar, but can you please share with the audience a little bit about yourself, where you're from? You know, if you want to share anything about your childhood and who or what inspired you to get to where you are today to do the things you're doing.
Man, that's going to be a long answer, but okay.
We'll go through it.
So I am originally from India. I've lived and worked there for a large part of my life before I moved to the U.S. When I started off, we were, I've seen acute abject poverty when I was young. And, my mom, dad, me, and my siblings, we used to live in a 10 by 10 room. That's what I remember from my childhood. But what I saw was my dad's hard work, tenacity, and, you know, not just giving up, you know, just keeping at it. And my mom's hard work in her job and in bringing us up. You know, all of that is what has made me. And we can talk about it as we go on the conversation. But then, so India, I had my master's, my first master's, and all from India. I started working there for a little while. My first entrepreneurship venture. I was right after my master's. I studied finance accounting. I wanted to do something where I saw a gap. My first entrepreneurial venture. Went to work for the government there for a few years. The government in Indian, the government job in Indian context is pretty coveted. And, you know, especially when you come from nothing, anything that can get you something or can get you somewhere is kind of, you know, you want to latch on to that. And we can, we'll talk about that as we go. I moved to the US, you mentioned, got my MBA. I started off by, you know, working with someone I know to understand, because I wanted to start my business, but I was not sure if I was ready, especially in the old, in the US context. So I worked with someone to understand the context, and then one thing led to another, I started my business. When the business started, you know, when your bread and butter is taken care of, that's when your heart keeps on telling, you know, my heart kept on telling me that there are certain things which I'm passionate about. And my heart kept on reminding me, even while my bread and butter and everything was kind of, you know, taken care of through my business. That's when, you know, when things stabilized at work a little, that's when, you know, that's how we are having this conversation. That's how this whole concept of, you know, this book and everything is coming up. And my, you know, again, talking about my passion, as I was mentioning, my heart calling out, I realized that for me, the ultimate fulfillment is when I am able to touch and impact lives. It could be individuals. It could be organizations. It was a governmental structure earlier. Other than that, that's where I find my meaning in my life and in whatever I do. And all of us are, I think all of us have this drive within us. You know, we want to go ahead and create and leave an impact on others. The next question that beckons us is, what is my natural expression of it? I could be doing a job. I could be doing a business. I could be doing something else. But what's my true expression of my true selves, my creativity, you know, my core selves? That's when my speaking, my writing, these podcasts, all of this came in picture. My niche, or I'm still a student here. I've written a book and all that, but I'm still a student here. I'm still learning every single day. But the area which I like to call my niche is focused on small businesses. Because I realized, even when I was doing my own small business right after my college back there in India, and even here in the US, that a lot of resources, when you see like research papers or educational research papers or even books and materials, a lot of them are geared towards big businesses. We are talking about sustainability. A lot is talked about sustainability, but mainly from the perspective of big businesses. Now, small businesses have a totally different challenge. You know, small businesses, the small business owner is, my friends who are small business owners, and I agree to that, you know, I'll say that, you know, a small business owner is both the CEO and the janitor. he or she wears like 20 hats. You know, you are a business owner with your podcast and you understand that, you know. So our challenges are much different from the way, you know, all the support materials available. And this is not as much supported, you know, not as much supported in terms of books, in terms of resources, in terms of research materials, in terms of a supporting ecosystem. This is where I want to go ahead and create an impact for fellow small business owners, from one small business owner to another, as I'm learning, as I'm working, as I'm training myself.
So before you move on, Kumar, I just want to reach out to the audience out there. So if you are a small business owner, and or you work for a small business owner, and you can go to that person and talk with them, share this podcast or go in and we'll include links to Kumar's website as well. Because I like what you said, Kumar, is because you have a passion for small business owners. There are so many people out there who do coaching or consulting or speaking and training, but they kind of focus on big, large Fortune 500 companies, and then they try to work with the smaller business owners, and they really are different dynamics. They are a different breed of individual, and they really need to be approached. Small business owners need to be approached by somebody and work with somebody who, in fact, really truly understands the depth of their challenges and the depth of their passions and goals. So please, anybody out there, let's keep researching Kumar here as we go on and after the show today. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, Kumar, but you were on a good roll there.
Thank you. And you know, you actually summarized it. This is more of a journey, as I said, you know, from one small business owner to another, because I understand, you know, if we are a community, I understand being a part of the community, I understand our concerns, our challenges, you know, as all of us, because all of us are in the same boat, and the boat is different from what, as you said, the Fortune 500 companies, you know, the playground that they have.
I can't wait to get to the question on the four P's of sustainability, but I want to pause that for just a moment, because when I read your bio and you used those four words, I was just like, man, this is exactly what it was. It summarizes everything so important. So I want to get to that in a minute. But can I ask you, in the last, let's say, 12 or 24 months, Kumar, what has been something you've really learned, or a new learning that has really helped you to transcend and grow as an individual, and therefore to help other businesses, so that we can, I'd like you to share that with myself and the audience.
That's a great question, Brian. One thing which is on top of my mind, and which has been on the top of my mind for, say, the past, you know, 10, 12 months, maybe a little longer, and again, from a small business perspective, is that it all starts with me. What I mean by that is I have realized that, you know, in my business, with my team, if there is something, there is one aspect of my operation which I don't want to deal with, which I resist, that flows in the team. If I am doubtful about something, that flows in the team. If I am operating with a low energy, that flows in the team. Because, again, small businesses, we usually operate in with a very small team, a very core team. And if that energy passes, so one of the best things that we can do, that each of us can do, is to give back to our own selves. A couple of things. What I mean by that, giving back, of course, in terms of self-care. So, you know, my own health, my own, you know, cognitive capacity, whatever I can do to improve on that is required. It's not something, you know, usually this gets pushed to the end because, as I said, you know, small business owners do everything, being from the CEO to the janitor. They put their needs at the end. They put their growth plan at the end for everyone else, which sounds good, but then it actually caps how much you can grow. It caps your limit. So our growth, our education, our mindset. And I was fortunate enough to do a lot of deep dive and a lot of mindset programs. And I, you know, there are things that I'm working with. I experimented with a few things. I experimented with hypnotherapy. I experimented with, you know, the whole manifestation, Joe Dispenza and other meditation teachers. And the more I give to this, my own self, the better I am able to show up at my work, the better I am able to create my organization. And one really important aspect there is also being authentic. Authentic that if I am going through a lot of stuff because of which I'm not putting my best foot forward, and if I'm just trying to fake it, people know it. You know, everyone working around you is smart. Even if they don't say it, they know it. So you want to give back. You want to, you know, go ahead and put irrigation minerals, whatever, in this own, in this self, in this self of yours, because ultimately, and to reiterate the first sentence, it all starts with me. It all starts with you for your business.
You know what you just did is you turned over a common thought that so many people have, Kumar, is that if I give back to me, then I'm being selfish. I need to give to others at all times. But it's just like when you ride on a commercial airline, they tell you to, if there's a change in the oxygen pressure, you put your mask on before you try to help the person next to you. And I can't stress that enough to the audience out there. And everybody, we're coming up, we're starting a new year. We have 2024 fresh in our minds. This is a great time to take what Kumar just said and look at your life and say to yourself, it all starts with me. Everything starts with me, and every person around me is impacted and infected by either my positivity, my negativity, my energy, and whatever that is. And you really can't give out your best version unless you first give back to yourself, your cognitive ability, your mind, taking care of your body, your spirit, your soul, whatever that might be. And one of the best ways to do it is being authentic. Be yourself. I mean, we live in a world of social media where so many people put filters on their pictures. They show, and we all do this to some degree, we show the best versions of our lives. They don't show pictures of themselves crying or with their hair all messed up when they get up in the morning with no makeup on and sitting in their pajamas in a dirty t-shirt. So we tend to judge ourselves on the best of other people. Just be yourself. I love those 3 points right there. I love those. I wrote those down. I have them circled in here in my notes. Okay, I can't wait anymore because I want to talk about your research, your work, and what you're doing for small businesses around the world, Kumar. Can you share with me right now in the audience, where when you look at the 4 P's of sustainability, people, planet, profit, and purpose, can you summarize those for us a bit?
Sure, yeah. So the 4P framework is a very simplistic, if I may say, a very simplistic, but yet very powerful metric. It is like your own North Star. So the 4P, you described it: people, planet, profit, and purpose. What I recommend for all small business owners who want to kind of, start getting in the realm of sustainability. And, I'll also tell about why, I also talk about why we need to do that, why we need to do that today in a minute. Yeah. But then anyone who wants to embrace sustainability or wants to take their first step towards it, this 4P is almost like a very powerful mantra. What you want to do is every important strategic decision you make in your business, you want to evaluate it from the perspective of the 4Ps. Is this decision impacting my people in a positive way? And people include your employees, your customers? Is it impacting? Is it making their lives better? Ultimately, that's how all the products, all the processes are created. But not just customers, also your employees, also your team, also yourself. The second P is planet. Sustainability, the essence, the core of it is planet. We want, is this decision of mine, this strategic decision of mine, is this gonna impact the planet in a negative way? And that's when you deep dive in your current carbon footprint and your other impacts, how you are, from simple things to how you are managing your trash, to your carbon footprint, to your processes and systematization. Is it making the planet environmentally better off? Or is it causing a damage to it? If it has to call, take away from the planet, how am I making up for that? Profit. I mentioned profit because, again, small businesses, we operate on a shoestring budget. There are many times, and any small business owner would relate to this, that you would have been tensed for a week or two about where your next payroll is going to come from. So if we exclude the profit and just go for the first two things, the sustainability of sustainability is in jeopardy. So profit is a very critical dimension. Is this decision of mine going to add to my profitability? And the last, but not the least, is purpose. Is this business expansion, is this strategic decision aligned with my core values aligned with who I truly am. And again, you know, I'm driving back to the concept of authenticity we talked about. If I am putting across in the world something which I'm not, even if I think that I am doing a great job at that, the world knows. You know what? I have more respect for a dishonest person who says that he's dishonest, or like a, you know, someone who says that, okay, you know what, I have very low ethical values and he does that. I have more respect for that person compared to someone who says that he or she is kind of, you know, the most trustworthy person, you can trust his or her word, and then doesn't stand up to it. So purpose is your true core value. Is that getting reflected in your business decision, in your strategic decision? If your new business strategic decision checks all these four boxes, go for it. If not, tweak it. In short, that's the four Ps.
I think that the simplicity of it's taking a complex issue and making it so simple for anybody to really implement. I want to share something with the audience. Did you hear when Kumar talks about small businesses? He says, we, and I did a podcast last week I was a guest on a podcast, and I shared with the audience that if you're going to hire someone to help you in your business or yourself personally or professionally, we're always hire somebody who walks alongside you, not somebody who's way ahead of you or lagging behind, but somebody who walks alongside of you. And when you hear a person say we when they're talking with you, that's a little element you want to pick up on. It's a cue that you want to pick up on. So just as a side note, but so where did the four Ps come from, Kumar? Is this something that you created and came up with over the course of time?
No. So essentially, as the whole concept of sustainability evolved over time, and this is going to be a little of an academic as to the conversation we are having. This concept has been evolving over the past 50 years in our regular practice. The 1980s, major things happened, UN did a commission and all of that. So the way this concept started evolving, they first focused just on the planet dimension. And then, you know, as for the research and everything went on happening, you know, the next P was added, which was the people dimension. Because again, you know, you cannot be doing something which damages or not supports your people, and then say that, you know what, hey, I'm doing this only because it is good in one factor. Then the concept evolved to the triple bottom line, is what they say, which was people, planet, and profit. You know, some research around kept on talking about purpose. So although this framework existed kind of in different Ps, in different forms and stuff, but then I kind of brought them together the way they are, the way I'm thinking about it.
Well, it's to me, I like it. I'm right now, Kumar, I'm reading Simon Sinek's book, The Infinite Game, and he shares in there how certain companies or organizations play a finite game. Like they play to win, like a football game. They play it for, you know, for a number of decades or years or sometimes quarters, and they'll do anything to win. And they don't look at the bigger picture, what's the long-term impact on what they're doing. And two of the things that you've already talked about that he brings up, that these infinite corporations that play the infinite game, is they talk a lot about purpose. They talk of what's their overall purpose. Like you said, does it align with your core values? And they also talk about people, how what they're doing is impacting people, not just the customer or client or the shareholders or stakeholders, but the employees, the community as a whole. And so what I'm seeing here is in such a good congruence with what these large organizations that are really doing things right, this is what you're in alignment with those, and you're able to apply this to the small business owner. I think it's great. I love it. So, right now, how can a small business adopt the sustainable practices? Like if I'm a small business owner and I'm listening to today's show, what's something I can start doing to say, okay, I love these four Ps. I don't think I'm in alignment with all of them. What is one thing they can do to kind of to give themselves a good audit or a check to see, you know, where am I off of alignment, and which ones am I aligned with?
Perfect. You know what, Brian, again, that's a great question. And this sort of brings me to the meat of the book, which I'm again gonna share in a very simple to understand way. You know, a lot of us could be driving while we are listening to this, or are jogging or something. Simple here. I start with a couple things. Number one is, of course, we talked about the four P's. Having the four P's as your North Star for any strategic decision. The second thing which I talk about is, if you want to embrace sustainability, and we missed this, we want to get back to this question about why do we want to do this? But then the next thing is, rather than having sustainability as a fringe item in your list of 20 things you do, make it the core of your business model. If you do that, it becomes sustainable. If you're just doing it as a fringe item, it is the first thing which drops off the moment, you know, your cash reserves are dwindling or any difficulty happens. Then let me just share a little more about this. So, for example, you might be seeing, you know, when you go to your local coffee shop, if there is a local coffee shop, if they start with putting sustainability as the core of their business strategy, right when that coffee shop owner, if they are starting it or someone who's already doing it, they look at their core strategy. Again, you know, Simon, you mentioned Simon Sinek. Why do I want to do this coffee shop? How am I going to impact people, planet, profit, and purpose? And building that to the core, in the core of my business strategy, which would mean my suppliers, let's source local. My people, let's hire those people whose values align with these values and the core organizational values. Purpose. Let's create a business which reflects the values rather than creating a business just, as you said, for the finite game, for profit, and then trying to force in the values there, because that's not going to work. So essentially, starting first, making it as the core of your business strategy rather than as just as a fringe item. What I mean by a fringe item, if someone is saying, you know, I know a couple of organizations, a couple of them have come to me and we work together. They say, hey, you know what? We are doing the recycling and we are doing one more thing. I think that's enough. That's all we can do for sustainability. I tell them, you know what? That's great that you're doing it. You must be spending some money as well in whatever you're doing, maybe sourcing one particular product. But those fringe items will not support. You want to get to the drawing table. And then every single conversation, your people conversation, has to be driven by sustainability, planet, purpose, every single thing. So getting to the core of your business strategy. And the third leg here is operationalizing it. So essentially, you cannot say that only because I'm recycling or only because I'm sourcing from a local vendor, a local farmer, am I sustainable? If your processes are not very well laid out and documented and chiseled, if your process is in such a way that you're causing a lot of waste, say your coffee shop, if you're causing a lot of waste in the whole process, you are not on the path to sustainability. So sustainability and, you know, therefore I don't just say sustainability, I say sustainable operations management. It cannot happen without the whole aspect of continuous operational excellence. And continuous operational excellence is not a one-off thing. It is a mindset which you build in, where you go ahead and document all your processes as they exist now, chisel out all the inefficiencies, and then go ahead and do the same cycle again and again and again and again and again. That's how you attain sustainability. Again, even this aspect of continuous operational excellence is going to impact your people, because they have better training. They know what's expected of them. It's going to impact the planet, because you are reducing the waste. It's going to impact your bottom line, your profit, because you're reducing the inefficiencies in the process. And also, it's that again checks all the P's. So the three steps, I'm just going to reiterate at the end of it again. The three steps. Number one, make sustainability the core of your business strategy rather than just a fringe. Second, have the four P's as your North Star for any important business decision. Three, continuous operational excellence. And once you're there, I tell to you know my clients and other business owners to talk to me. Then this is the time when you start to wear it, when you start to wear it on your sleeves. And what I mean by that is now when you've got it, then you start talking about it. You start putting it in your advertising. You start putting it on your walls. You start doing everything to talk about it, to wear it on your sleeves, because this is something to be proud of. And you living it and then wearing it on your sleeves. And mind you, both of the things are important. You living it and then wearing it on your sleeves might go ahead and inspire one person who might go ahead and inspire another person. And that will start a chain where all of us are moving to what I like to call our common shared vision for the world, which is to leave the world a better place than we got.
Well, so what you're saying then is this, the four P's is not something we just dabble in. This has to be a core part of your, it's got to become a part of your living being inside of your organization. It's something that we don't fray from, we stick with it at all times. It's part of the heart and soul of a small business.
That's exactly it.
Well, you know, and I think one of the things I've noticed in the last 27 years of doing this work is that so many small business owners start off, a lot of them have a purpose. A lot of them, it's not well defined, but they're of the four P's, the one they focus on most is profit. They're looking at money. They're looking at income, revenue, expenses. And then you look at the studies of, you know, 20% of all businesses fail in the first 2 years, 45% in the first 5 years, 65% in the first 10 years, and only about 25% of small businesses make it 15 years or more. That's one study. I've heard even worse ones. And I think when you look at that, and I'm assuming is if you dissected those businesses, if you could go back and really look at the history, the behavior, the actions and the habits of those small businesses that failed, they probably were not looking at things from a holistic viewpoint. They were looking at one of the four P's, which is profit. And they were not looking at purpose. They were not looking at the people that were impacted. They were looking at how they impacted the planet. So this is a really good remedy for small businesses right now who may be struggling or who are doing well, who want to go to the next level, or for anybody who's looking at this saying, I want to start a small business and grow it. This is an incredible framework for them.
Yeah, and you mentioned something really important. You know, this is, of course, this is for small business owners. That's where my space is. But it is for anyone who wants to create one. Maybe, you know, tomorrow, maybe next year. If you're wanting to create that, this is just the right time to start thinking about it, as they say, from the end in mind, and not as in the end of the business, but end as in, you know, the core, the ultimate goal, the ultimate value, rather than then trying to force feed after a couple of years.
I liked your comment, we have a common shared vision to leave the world a better place. That's a pretty broad, powerful statement. I might be paraphrasing what you said a little bit. And I think that goes back, Kumar, to what you said earlier, is we all have this desire to do good, to help other people, to make the world a better place. But we all have our own natural expressions on how to do that. You know, we have our own creativity, our own abilities, our own talents and skill sets and experiences to do that. And I think a lot of people look at it and say, well, I'm just one person or I'm just a small business. How can I really make the world a better place? I sell shoelaces or I sell, you know, screen print T-shirts on the corner. You know, but in reality, when you look at using these four P's, this is how we each can share. Or we can each kind of express our own natural ability to make the world a better place for us living on it. It doesn't have to be some grand gesture. It's just look at this process of four things and say, let's follow these. Let's make these our North Star. And when you do that, there's a pretty darn good chance you're going to leave the world a better place.
Yeah. And you know what? I want to add to that by mentioning one really important thing, really important, really significant for me. I believe in this concept of ownership. And ownership, let me describe the way I relate to it. So my world is limited to those who I consider as my own. For example, you know, if I'm someone who just considers my family as, you know, my own, my a sense of ownership just for my family, then all I'm thinking about is making their lives better. If I just go ahead and expand that sense of ownership to include my employees, then I'm naturally, I don't have to force it, then I'm naturally thinking about making their lives better just as I'm thinking about making my family's lives better. And then it's about expanding it a little more to include your customers, to include your vendors, suppliers, to include the professional organizations you are a part of. And you just go on expanding this horizon of ownership one step at a time at your level, at your base. You just go on, with the more you expand it, the more you grow in your ability to create an impact. You know, when we say creating an impact on the whole world, at times it appears too daunting, but this is a solution for it. Just going ahead and increasing the gamut, the expanse of what I own this. You know, it's my, I have a sense of ownership for them, for these aspects.
I like that. And I think it plays into the chaos theory and, you know, the butterfly effect of, you know, one small thing you can do can change and can have incredible nonlinear changes down the road and make, you know, you treat your family well, you treat your employees well, you treat your customers well. They go on to treat their friends well, their family well. I mean, it just has this natural snowball effect that can really spread out to a much larger arena than just the small world that we take ownership on. It also is a role model for other people to take ownership on their world, and therefore other people. It just builds and builds and builds. And that's really how we leave the world a better place.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of us are an impact of that. You know, when someone shared the chaos theory with me just a few years ago, and then I heard that, and then I read that, and you're talking about it again, it just blew my mind. You know, it just blew my mind. It's just so unfathomable. Anyway, that's just an expression there. It is amazing. That's how we are built, all of us.
It is. And there's a book out there that a couple of guests that were on my podcast last year wrote. And gosh, I wish I could think of the name of it. I have a copy of it back at home, and I'm not home right now. It's by Doug Linick and Chuck Wackendorfer. And it's all about the little things we do, how, you know, it's primarily, you know, if we clean up our own lives, like you said, self-care, you know, give back to yourselves, and how we as individuals can make impacts, not necessarily by traveling the world and giving grand speeches and moving large mountains, but making small impact on the people around us and the things that we can control and influence. I mean, that's really where life is. But I'm going to ask you a question. If I'm a small business owner and I'm listening today and I'm like, this sounds really good and it sounds almost perfect, but I have to believe there are some obstacles for a small business owner to implement the four P's of sustainability. Can you share with us what some of those obstacles that you have seen so far, and maybe how the business owners and entrepreneurs have helped overcome them?
Yes. So, and again, that's a great question. It's really important to talk about the possible obstacles. The three major obstacles when it comes to small businesses embracing sustainability, or even trying to, you know, kind of think long term, is small business owners, we usually are in a scarcity mindset when it comes to time, resources, and knowledge. We think that we don't know enough. We don't have enough, you know, financially to go ahead and kind of embrace on this project or this idea. And we don't have time enough because we are trying to do everything. You know, janitor to CEO, we are trying to do everything. So these three are the most important obstacles. And, you know, it's unfortunately that whole chicken egg kind of scenario. The more you start, you know, when you start looking at it from a strategy, a core strategy perspective, rather than a fringe item, that's when you don't need to deploy more resources to embrace sustainability. Because that's when you would have thought out already, you have already checked out your profit, planet, people, purpose, and you've made a proper strategy rather than just taking things as they go. That's when your foundations are laid much clearly. The other gaps are time and knowledge. They are very legitimate gaps, which any small business, owner experiences. Again, but the more we do a strategy work here, the more we do a core work here, the more aligned it is. Because as we talked about continuous operational excellence, if you make it as a part of your strategy, if you make the four P's as a part of your four strategy, that saves the inefficiency, that gets you time. So unfortunately, the solution is the obstacle. The only way the obstacle can be solved is by going for the solution. Although it is the obstacle to the solution, it's kind of that kind of a situation. But then these three are the main obstacles. And essentially, we operate from a scarcity mindset. Again, given there have been many times for all of us as small business owners when we thought like, okay, where is my next payroll going to come from? I talked about this. Where, how do I fit this in? Because my day is already a 15-hour day. What do I do? When you're doing it on the fringe, you look at it as an external item. When you're doing it as the core, it just transforms.
So what I'm hearing is the reason why someone might say, I can't do this, is the exact reason why they should do it.
Unfortunately, that's exactly true.
Well, Kumar, I've actually had clients that when I'm coaching them on time management and I recommend some books to read, they'll say, I don't have time to read books on time management. I'm like, wait a minute. That's the exact reason why you need to do it. It's like saying I'm too sick to go to the doctor. It's irrational, but that's the way, especially in a small business mindset, when you're so busy and you have a lot of stress on you and you're tense and things of that nature. It's hard to think rationally at times, and we think with our right brain sometimes more than we should when it comes to those situations. I wonder, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You shared something which really is my story. I want to share something to everyone listening here in a space of vulnerability, because Brian, this feels like, although this is a phone conversation and I know this is going to go public, but this surely feels like a safe space. And thanks for creating that space. We talked about the solution to the problem being a part of the, I'm not phrasing it properly, but then I had a lot of problems with organization and prioritization. Part of it also came because of some ADD issues, but then I had really huge problems with that. And what I would do, my solution, I would make notes on the go on my phone and then some on a scrap piece of paper lying nearby and some in my computer and some elsewhere. And then I'll be struggling and juggling and then trying to put all of them together and all of that stuff. Because I used to think that, oh, you know what? I don't have time. Let me quickly write it. I want to quickly get it done. But that quickly, that was not actually, it was not actually quick enough. In fact, it was much more difficult because there would be many times when I would be looking, oh, where did I put that notes? Oh, this, I didn't prioritize this. So essentially, and that's also what I meant, it all starts with me. When I started working with a business coach to start work on my organization, a lot of things improved for me. I'm working with a business coach who's actually, he's making me go through my 2024 goals and then he's making me break it down in all the quarters. Earlier, I used to be thinking, no, you know what? I don't have time for that. Let's just get going. Let's just keep on running. But then that doesn't get you where you want to go. So in the space of vulnerability, and I'm sharing this with you, I am struggling and I'm trying to resolve, and I have resolved with the help of my business coach a large part of it, and I'm still working on improving it. The solution, the obstacle to the problem, can be only solved when you go for the solution.
It's so simple, but yet it's simple for us to intellectualize, but so many people have a difficult time on the emotional side of really understanding that. You're singing my song. I struggle. I'm very organized, Kumar, in my physical, like everything in my house and office are organized, but like in my head, things are always disorganized, it seems like. And I have to carry a pad of paper with me everywhere I go and a pen and paper because ideas come up and then, I have to go back and flip through notes and find things. And I'm kind of like you. I'm ready to just do things. It's kind of ready, fire, aim versus ready, aim, fire mentality. But, you know, and like you, I'm working on it too. And I just want to give a shout out because I had mentioned a book a while ago from Chuck Wackendorfer and Doug Linick, and it's called Don't Wait for Someone Else to Fix It. So I just want to show them credit because I think that along with Kumar's book, The Sustainable Entrepreneur, those might be two good sister books to read this year and start your new year off really well with a couple of books, starting with The Sustainable Entrepreneur with Kumar here. So Kumar, right now, what's next for you? You've got the book out, your business is thriving, you're helping small businesses all over the world. What's next? What's your next?
A lot of things. A lot of things. You know, I don't stop and I don't want to stop. So I recently started another business. It's in the old pre-employment drug testing, DNA testing space. I started that off. I'm kind of, you know, this last week was the first week of the business. And then there are two more books coming up, which I finished. And right now they are getting edited. So a professional editor is looking at it. So next year, first quarter, the first book, and maybe the fourth quarter, the second one. Both the books are again in the same space of small businesses, but not just sustainability. One of them talks about how employee engagement is really important. Why is it really important? And how is it different? And what small businesses do when it comes to employee engagement? And another is something which I learned, my lesson learned on the way in my business life, that is about small businesses and hiring. Our hiring needs are much different from a Tesla or an Amazon. A Tesla or an Amazon puts out an application, gets 1,000, 2,000 applicants applying for them. We small business owners, when we put out application, we don't get enough. At times, we don't get the right fit. You know, and there are so many obstacles. So another book is going to be just about how hiring is different for small businesses, business owners, and what can we do about it. So a couple of books lined up, a couple organized it, you know, a couple more businesses lined up. And as you said, you know, I also keep a busy mind, so more things in on the go.
Well, when those books come out, make sure, please, that you and your team send those to me as far as the link so that I can go back and include those on the show notes from today. So when people go back in a few months and listen to the show, they can actually click on all your books, not just the first one.
Perfect. I'm also going to send you a signed copy besides, of course, the link, of course, for the listeners.
Oh, I love that. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay, I have a question. I love this question, Kumar. And it's, if I had a time machine and I could fly out to your place today and you and I were to get in it, and we're going to go back to, let's say you just graduated from the University of Pittsburgh, and you could sit down and talk to your young self, your younger version, and you could give yourself some recipes for success, some world wisdom, you know, life lessons. What would you tell your younger self?
That's such a deep question. You know what? So one of the biggest motivators for me has been, you know, this might sound like a negative statement. There is no bigger burden than the burden of unrequited potential, unrealized potential. This has been one of my drivers. So there have been phases in my life when, you know, I yearned to do something different. For example, when I worked for the government in India for some time. When I was working there, I knew my heart and soul was not contented there. But that was a very comfortable job. You know, everything looked great. I took a lot of time in mustering up the courage to go ahead and follow who I truly am. And I do not repent things where I tried and failed. The only things which I repent in my life are things which I didn't even try because I was unsure or afraid, or I felt that I was not ready. So my reminder to me is that there is no bigger burden than the burden of unrealized potential. What your potential is something for you to decide, is something, you know, my potential is something for me to decide. And that goes on evolving. The good thing, you know, people keep on talking, we talked about purpose. People keep on talking about passion. I've heard both people say, good things about it and not so good things about following your passion. There is one underlying kind of, you know, the important thing there is that we think that once we've decided a passion, it has to stay that way. I'm someone who has multiple interests, and so are a lot of us. That's how we humans are wired. But right now, if my heart is calling me out for a certain form of creative expression of myself, I want to go ahead and pursue that. I would rather fail in that pursuit than win in a comfort zone, you know, because then this will not be contented. So coming back again, that one line, there is no bigger burden than the burden of unrealized potential. That's one of my biggest motivators. That's what I'll say to that younger self again and again, to go ahead and try for it.
I wish you could have met me when I was 22 years old, because I could have heard that. I needed that lesson. And the thing is, Kumar, I still need to hear that lesson. There are so many times, you know, in my life, I'm 56 years old, and I have had my coaching practice for 27 years now, just last month. And there are times when I have to stop and say, you are underachieving. You are not, you know, and I find that when, as I get more comfortable, I have to push myself even more consciously to take the risks that I was very okay taking when I was in my 20s and 30s. And I have to, you know, and I have these grand ideas and these hopes and opportunities. And I find myself, as I get a little older, more afraid to take those. And so I love this lesson, is, and I'm going to remind myself that there is no greater burden than the burden of unrealized potential. Because, and that's, I was thinking yesterday, I was talking to a client and they were asking me what I thought progress was. And I said, progress is doing something hard today, and tomorrow you are rewarded by having to do something even harder tomorrow. And that's, we get so comfortable in our lives, whether it's our business or our personal lives or our careers or our families. And we have to realize at all times, there is so much more unrealized potential in us. And we don't want to go, you know, my great friend Dave Dick told me one time, he said, when you die, you want to shake hands with you want to shake hands with the most amazing man you've ever met, and you want that man to be you. And I'm paraphrasing it, but it's so powerful. And I realize I haven't always been that man. And I have to constantly remind myself, go for this, do this, take that chance, take that strategic risk, try new things. And we all do this. We all go through that. I love that. In fact, I put a big star next to that phrase. So I'm going to give you credit, though, Kumar, I promise you.
This is just so powerful. I said that, and all of us, you know, I keep on reminding this to myself, because there are times when I get stopped by fear, when I get stopped by the feeling that I don't know enough. And it is like a constant reminder for you, me, for each of us. There are a lot of us, you know, we're talking about small business owners. There are a lot of us, a lot of your listeners, who could be on the board saying that, hey, you know what, someday I want to start something my own. Take the plunge. You'll not repent that.
And this is a guy who, talking to you folks, who's taken the plunge, who now works alongside all of these small business owners who have taken the plunge, and he understands it. He understands the fear, the risk, the concerns, the worry. And, you know, if, like he said, I'd rather do something and fail than lie on my deathbed and wish I would have taken it and tried that thing that failed at all times. Kumar, as we're wrapping up here, I'm going to ask one more question. And this kind of catches anything that I might have missed. Is there any question that I didn't ask that you wish I would have? Or is there any final message you want to leave with the Bamboo Pack audience?
I just wanted to touch upon one thing, which I mentioned a couple of times, didn't get into it. This is kind of going a couple steps back, but still, for all small business owners or anyone who wants to be one, this is the time when you want to start embracing sustainability full on, like making it the core of your business strategy. And I'm going to give you a framework. I published an article in Forbes, which has the whole detail of that, which you can look up. But I'm just going to quickly go through that. From a very financial bottom line perspective, I'm putting it because that's one of the drivers when you're doing your initial strategy. Your consumers today, with the whole change of taste in consumers, especially with the Gen Z becoming the main consumers now, your consumers will love you more if you embrace sustainability. They'll be willing to pay you a little more if you're someone who's actually living that rather than just talking about it. You will outshine your competition. If, say, you're a local coffee shop, you'll outshine your competition if you are an organization who lives it, breathes it, and also talks about it. There are a lot of opportunities for collaboration if you're a small business owner who's on the verge deciding, should I not? A lot of opportunities for collaboration, a lot of nonprofits, a lot of organizations, a lot of individuals like myself who just want to go ahead and talk and support you. If you're someone who is already an entrepreneur, wants to say, you know, is looking at the potentially selling your business someday, there are a lot of VCs out there who mainly focus on businesses which have sustainability as the core. And last but not the least, there are also some government incentives. Now, this conversation was the MBA in me. This is the initial conversation which I do, of course, with numbers, with all my clients, when I tell them that these are the reasons why you want to do it, and you want to do it today rather than getting lost and getting behind. So also the question was for message, but I still wanted to address this for people who are still on the fence about embracing sustainability.
And what I heard you say, and I heard this from a guest a couple of weeks ago, Kumar, named Garrett Kinney, and he talked about businesses or individuals or teams or companies having a generosity purpose. It, you know, he was focusing on that part of the equation where if you have a cause where you're helping the world through certain donations or donating your time or your energy or your resources, it draws customers to you because they want to be a part of an organization that is doing something bigger than just making money. And that's exactly what you're talking about here. Customers will be drawn to you. The community will be drawn to you because they see you as a more holistic aspect of the community, and they're going to want to buy from you. If I have a choice between going to this coffee shop that might have focus on profit, maybe a little bit on purpose, and I have an option to go across the street and buy coffee or dinner or clothes or whatever from a company, an organization, a business that focuses on all four or all of the four P's, you know, people, planet, profit, and purpose. It's easy. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to spend more money if I have to cross the street and buy from that company that's more holistic.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, Kumar. I think now people are seeing this more than they did in the past. They're more concerned about how businesses are impacting the world and other people and their community. They're not just going for the cheapest price anymore. They're willing to spend a little more or go a little bit out of their way to feel like they're doing something for the planet as well by buying from an organization that does these things. So it's a great time. So Kumar, all the entrepreneurs and business owners out there, how can they get a hold of you? How can they learn more about you and your organization?
So one thing, we talked about my book. That book is available on Amazon. It's called The Sustainable Entrepreneur by Kumar Vijayendra. You can also look me up on my website, which is iamkumarv.com. All the social media, especially Instagram and Facebook, again, Kumar V, that's where I am at. Any of these sources can connect you to the other sources. And that's how we can stay connected. Send a mail, send a text, let's stay connected, even if we want to talk a little more about what we talked about today.
Well, we're going to make sure, everybody, that there are links to all of his connections as well as his book in the show notes. So when you're done here, if you're interested, which I know a lot of you will be, go back to the show notes. Go down, click on those links, and get a hold of Kumar and his team. So this is great stuff, my friend. This is really good stuff.
The
subtitle of the podcast is Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Things, Kumar. And that's exactly this is exactly the perfect qualification. You're an ordinary person doing extraordinary things that are going to have a long-lasting impact on the planet and the world. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I love the way you put it. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. That's amazing. I love that. And thank you for honoring me with that, honoring me as a part of that tribe.
It's my pleasure, my friend. Well, Kumar, I, as we wrap up, I just want to thank you for being such an impactful guest on the Bamboo Lab podcast.
Thank you, Brian. It's been great. Thank you.
It has been. I appreciate that. All right, everyone, please click on the show notes from today's show. Look into Kumar's his operation. Look into what he has to offer, his books, his website, his social media content. Reach out to him, please. You can tell that he's incredibly personable. He'll, you know, they'll get right back to you. I can attest his team gets right back to you. They are efficient. They are incredibly efficient. In the meantime, everybody, I'm really glad you tuned in today. Please go ahead and hit that like button if you haven't yet. Please subscribe. And please share this specific episode with three individuals. If you know of an entrepreneur or a small business owner in your life, or somebody who works for one who has some influence on the owner, please share this episode with them. Let them connect with Kumar. I'll talk to you all in a week. In the meantime, please, everyone, get out there and strive to give and to be your best every day. Show love and respect to others, but also, kind of like Kumar said, show love and respect to yourself. Take care of yourself and also live intentionally. Enjoy the journey. You know I appreciate and love each and every one of you. Thank you.